Hi, this is Paul Jindrzejczyk for Sunday Morning Town Square, and I'm joined by Grand Rapids Police Chief Kevin Belk. How are you doing this morning?
Doing very good, Paul. Thank you.
So, you've been with GRPD since about 1980. What are some of the ways that you've seen GRPD change, and what are some of the ways that the community's changed in the way that it needs service from the Grand Rapids Police Department?
Certainly, the things that have changed in the police department, I think technology, certainly from 1980 to 2013, we've seen tremendous improvements in technology. Our officers essentially have a mobile office in their car. There are so many other technology changes that are available, surveillance cameras that are out in the community that allow us to capture quality images of people that are involved in crimes. But our ability to track people, to gather information, certainly been greatly enhanced with the use of technology.
Now, what was it that attracted you to the service in the police department?
Well, it's just I'm one of those kids that since I was probably, 6, 8 years old, I always wanted to be a police officer, and just a dream that never left, and I've been fortunate to have a very nice career with the Grand Rapids Police Department.
Did you have a family member or a relative who was a police officer?
I did not, no. It was just something that was my own desire, and like I say, I continue to pursue it.
Sure. And now that you're police chief, what do you miss about the early days, being out there working a beat on patrol?
Well, certainly a lot more fun, I can tell you that, as far as being able to be involved in the community, a little adrenaline rush here and there. And,
sure.
Obviously, in the administrative capacity, while it's certainly rewarding in a lot of ways, it's doesn't have the same adrenaline rush and the same enjoyment, being out on the street, being able to go from call to call. And
will you ever go out there on a call or anything with officers?
Oh, occasionally I go out, but as a rule, I've got more than enough to keep me busy running the department, and I'd like to spend more time, but it just doesn't become practical.
Sure, sure. So you recently had a meeting with community leaders at the Messiah Missionary Church dealing with the shootings that's been happening in Grand Rapids. What were some of the outcomes and potential solutions that were brought up at the meeting, and do you feel that they're going to be actionable?
Well, actually, the meeting was really more of a beginning stage as opposed to the end. Actually, the meetings have been going on for a few weeks before that. Some of the area pastors had come together wanting to try to figure out what the community could do to help stem some of the violence that we've seen. But out of that meeting on Friday, 5 groups have been formed, and those groups are going to be meeting in the weeks ahead, individually trying to come up with solutions. And then within a 60-day period, the hope is to bring those solutions back to the table.
Okay.
But there's so many assets and things that are going on in our community that I think are great things. It's a matter of trying to figure out where the gaps are and how we might be able to do a better job, comprehensively.
Now, are these groups already full up, or can community members come out and be part of them still?
Oh, there's certainly anyone that wants to participate, anyone wants to be involved is certainly welcome to be involved. Many of those are out in the local media, the times and locations of those meetings. I know there is a number of them that have been scheduled.
Okay. Now, I know the community has been on edge with the recent shootings. What do you feel is at the root of them, and why are we seeing this activity now?
Well, first, I'd say it certainly is an abnormal amount of activity for Grand Rapids. This is not typical. So from that standpoint, obviously, you have quite a concern. But, a lot of it gets back to the root issue, that the breakdown of the family, if you will, that children end up not being well supervised, they're not involved or successful in school. And that's probably the single most thing we can do as a community to help reduce crime and violence, is to make sure that kids are in school, that they're successful in school, because kids that have a good education, that have good quality assets, are employable and tend to be much more successful.
Sure, sure. Now, you stated in the past that we're much safer here in Grand Rapids than we have been in the past. In what ways are we safer here in Grand Rapids?
Well, the amount of crime that we have is far less. I can tell you the number of assaults, the serious assaults that we have in this community. If you go back into to the 80s and 90s, we probably have, I would say about a 40-50% less crime, probably more like 40% less than we had back then. Burglaries are half of what they were when I worked burglaries early in my career. So from that standpoint, we see just a far less amount of crime in our community than we did in the past.
So the shootings are kind of an anomaly.
Yeah, well, obviously we've seen nationwide really an uptick in some of these high-profile violent crimes, but again, You know, and we've not escaped that here in Grand Rapids. So, mm-hmm. you know, again, we're trying to figure out ways that we can address that. We've initiated a number of different things. Some of the affected areas, we've shifted resources. Our special response team has been directed into that area. We've increased other directed patrol activities. We've authorized overtime assignments so that we increase the number of officers that are working in those particular neighborhoods.
Sure.
And a number of other things that we're doing to try to improve our presence. And then our major case team certainly is doing a number of things as well. We've pulled our cold case investigators temporarily. They work on cold case homicides mm-hmm. to work on some of these current ones just because of the sheer volume. We've assigned some of the general case team additional work from the major case team so that it relieves the major case team investigators so they can work on these recent homicides and shootings that we've had. We've authorized overtime assignments in that area as well. Mm-hmm. Working with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, FBI's Fugitive Task Force to try to locate people that are persons of interest or that are suspects in some of these incidents. I think we've got a fairly comprehensive approach to this.
Sure.
And at the same time, I think an important component is reaching out with the community, trying to figure out what the community can do. Because at the bottom of all this, we believe that community policing is really where it is, and it's not merely the police department's responsibility, but it is the public as well. And you know, the police are the only ones that are paid to give full-time attention to those duties and responsibilities that are incumbent upon every citizen in the sake of community welfare and existence.
What can be done to better improve community policing?
Well, the main thing is to get community involvement, and sure. we need everyone to be involved. In many of these incidents, we end up with people that are reluctant to cooperate. Some of the victims sometimes are actually suspects on prior occasions, and so there ends up being some back and forth involved in this. So many times their motivation for being involved is being cooperative is is compromised because of their own criminal behavior. Other times, people are just reluctant to get involved and to, you know, involve themselves in that for, you know, a whole host of reasons.
Okay. Now, there's some that feel that the shootings may be gang-related. What's the present state of things with gangs in our area? And I guess, who are these gangs, and are they simply local, or are they connected to larger organizations in Detroit and Chicago? What are we looking at?
Well, we certainly have gangs in Grand Rapids,
sure.
But what we find as a rule that it really ends up being more of a lifestyle, if you will. It's a mindset, I think, where people have limited respect for other people and their property. Mm-hmm. But most of the issues that we see end up at the core being an interpersonal conflict, whether they're, you know, they've got gang involvement or not. It ends up being some personal beef that they have between two individuals, and it's carried out, you know, in a way that involves violence or firearms.
Sure, sure. I mean, do these gangs, do they have an ultimate purpose, like a business focus, or are they just there to cause upheaval and nuisance in our community?
Well, they're not as well organized as many would think. I mean, their structures are pretty loose, and the leadership is, you know, changes very often. You know, the reality is if they were well structured, we would be able to figure out who the leadership are, and we would be able to arrest them to find out what criminal activities are involved in and take them down. So in that sense, there is a fairly consistent turnover in leadership in these groups. And as I say, they end up being involved in criminal activity, a variety of things. I mean, sometimes they're breaking into to homes. Sometimes there's armed robberies. Mm-hmm. Other times it's drug dealing. But again, most of the violent crime, as I say, end up at the core as some interpersonal conflict.
Now, I know you had Thomas Gillespie at your press conference the other day. He's a former gang member. How has he been instrumental in connecting with kids and helping them have the courage to walk away from the gang life?
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with the work of Mr. Gillespie.
Okay.
Obviously, he had a history years ago where he spent some significant time in prison, but as far as his contributions, I'm not really too familiar with them.
Okay. What is a community or some of the things that maybe we could be doing to help some of these kids from going down such a road in the future?
Well, I think supporting programs or being involved in them personally. I believe very strongly in after-school programs.
Mm-hmm.
But others, as kids get older, you know, become young men, employment issues are there. And many times these people have limited assets, so they're looking at entry-level jobs. But finding employers that are willing to take some risk on people that may be, you know, a stretch for hiring, that someone that they're willing to work with, mm-hmm. you know, to give them some chance. But, you know, it becomes a difficult endeavor to get involved in because, you know, many times, as I say, they don't have the assets or they don't have a track record of employment. And so they're going to be challenging employees, to say the least.
Sure. Now, I remember a few years back, GRPD had command centers set up in some of the neighborhoods around town. Do you feel that that helped reduce crime? And do you feel that that's something that you may need to return to?
Well, there were a couple of them that we had. One was fairly short-lived in the Baxter neighborhood. Overall, I think the sense was that didn't seem to have a tremendous amount of value. It wasn't really embraced by the community as a gathering place. The one that was down at Hall and Cass was there for several years. And I do think that over the period of time that there was a significant reduction in some of the problems of that neighborhood. And I believe the field office played a role in that. But I think at the core, really, is the officers being on the ground, being in the neighborhoods, working with the community, you know, ends up being really at the core. Some of those, or the field office, was essentially eliminated for budgetary reasons and the costs that were involved. And, you know, and then I think for the most part, its value had eroded over a period of time.
Now, gun control has been on the front pages a lot lately. What is GRPD doing to help get illegal guns off of our streets here?
Well, that's a lot of our focus in this violent crime. As I talk about the increased levels of patrols and our activity, it's really focused on trying to impact the crime. We do know that these people are carrying guns in vehicles and on their persons, and so when we find people that are, you know, suspicious or violating the law in other ways, certainly our ability to look for those weapons and to charge those individuals with that is the primary focus of many of our patrols. The other is we're working with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, where people that have had prior felony convictions, we can charge them federally, which you know, they end up with a significantly stiffer penalty in the federal system than they do the state system. Sometimes we're a little frustrated in the state courts that people that are carrying illegal guns end up not receiving much of a penalty at all and are back out on the streets.
Sure. Now, Grand Rapids recently voted in support of the decriminalized marijuana proposal. I know many have felt that it would cut costs for law enforcement. What are your thoughts on the passage of it and Bill Forsyth's interest in blocking it from going into effect at the present time?
Well, I've never seen anything that suggests it's going to reduce our costs. I don't know where that... I know they've pushed that out there, but they certainly have not pointed out to me how my budget is going to be less and how we're going to end up with less crime in the city. I think increased substance abuse is not something I think is going to be good for our community. Alcohol certainly has proven to be behind many of the violent issues that we've had, certainly drug involvement as well. So, you know, I'm concerned about it. Obviously, the prosecutor has filed a lawsuit, and that is pending. But you know, one of the concerns I have is that the initiative makes it a crime for a police officer to report law violations to the prosecutor's office, which certainly seems to be, you know, unique at best. So.
Okay. Now, going forward, what do you feel are some of the biggest challenges to GRPD as the city grows and the variety of ways, you know, that, you know, criminal activity could be out there? And what do you feel that the city and you guys can do to help meet that need in the community?
Well, the city's ongoing budget issues are certainly at the foundation of the police response. I mean, our numbers have dropped dramatically over the last several years. I mean, since I've been chief over the last 5 years, we have lost very close to 50 officers during that time. So we're a far smaller department than we were. And that obviously compromises our ability to respond to some of these issues. You know, in the short run, I think we can adjust resources. We can move personnel around. We can use overtime assignments. But over the long haul, certainly I'm concerned regarding the staffing levels and you know, but at the same time, you know, the city has to be responsible. We have to live within our means. And, you know, as a result, we've reduced the cost of the police department. And when it's 90% personnel and you're a police department, you have to cut cops. And it ends up being cops on the street that have been cut.
Sure. This is Paul Jendraziak for Sunday Morning Town Square. And I've been joined in studio by Grand Rapids Police Chief Kevin Belk. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. It's been my pleasure.